This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See live off the record with Shivago Line is brought to you by Bahamas First, General Insurance Company, BAIC, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, the Free National Movement, Kelly's Home Center, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, RF Biking Trust, Mars Electric Motors, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, the Tourism Development Corporation, and Wendy's.
Today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 323-3234-216 or 325-259. If you want to call us from the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, Channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. If you want to text us, it's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Election campaigning is a lot about words. It's predominantly about the things people will say to you as a voter, as a people in the country. There are going to be ideas presented, and so you have to determine whether those ideas are relevant, meaning that they connect to some need or aspiration you have as a people. There are going to be arguments made, so someone may make a point, and someone else will make a counterpoint, at which point you have to determine whether there's any credibility to the point to begin with, and if there is, whether there is any logic, reasoning, or credibility to the counterpoint to the point being made. You are going to hear these words presented to you by audio means, whether that's some ad or some rally speech or some press conference. You're going to hear that, or if you put over the social media, you're going to see audio visual things presented to you. There are some things you're going to get, the words you're going to get in writing, whether that is press or that's some press release, or that's some poster or something, some flyer or whatever is sent out. But it's going to be a lot of words. A lot of words. And you are ugly. So let me explain something to you guys, right? The politician candidates, the central focus of this soup of words, right? This bathtub of words, because it's them who are given the words. And so understand, you there's some focus on that. But the truth is, think about it for a moment. every single candidate, whether they are on the COI side, on the FNS side, or the PLP side, or some other side, or on their own, they are all doing one thing. And I'm going to use a word here and then talk about it a little more. They are desperately trying to, one, get your attention. So who's the focal point? You are. You, the voter. You are the big deal. Some people say you are the big, big deal. Because they are, one, trying desperately to get your attention. The prime minister is trying to get your attention. The leader of the opposition is trying to get your attention. And COI leader is trying to get your attention. And they are all desperately trying to get your attention. Right? Then they are trying, once they get that attention, to grab, intrigue your imagination. They want to make sure that what you hear from them once they have your attention is something that engages you. They want you to mull it over a little bit. And then finally, they want your affection. Because if they can get your affection, because they now have engaged your imagination, because they now got your attention, maybe when you go to the polls, very likely, in fact, you will give them your support. That's what they're trying to do. And I use the word desperate because I heard the prime minister say that the FNM is desperate for power. You think the PLP or the COI not desperate for power? Now, let me be clear. Desperation could mean that you are in a state of extreme urgency about a matter. Right? You are really, really drastically trying to do something. Now, sometimes that desperateness could be a kind of hopelessness. So you could be extremely desirous of something with a state of hopelessness that makes you want to do anything and everything to get it. If that's the desperation the prime minister was describing, I don't see that in the Free National Movement at all. I don't see I don't see it, but I mean, desperate, I think that what I do see is I see the Free National Movement and I see the Progressive Liberal Party both desperately trying to get your attention, trying to get your imagination, capture your imagination, and then trying to get your affection so that they can get your support. I see that clearly. Because when I look at the words being thrown, and I have to say, when I look at some of the words thrown on the Progressive Liberal Party side of things, well, I think there is a certain urgency with which they would like to keep power. And when you hear the appeals being made by the FNM, the descriptions that they are making about the state of the country, the kind of promises they are making, there is a desperateness on their part as well. So I don't know when that's new. I mean, I've been part and parcel of many campaigns. I've watched and observed all kinds of campaigns. I don't think desperation is a word that anybody should be throwing around as if it's a bad thing, because in politics in the Bahamas, why you think we were? What would explain? An effort being made to talk about who ain't never had no job, no real job, who party who fragmented and disunited, and that is not clearly not true. It is clearly not true. What could describe those kinds of efforts other than a urgency with which you to keep power, right? What would describe what, that a party says, all kind of people the people of the Bahamas are suffering and the people of the Bahamas are better off. That's language to the FNM. That's clearly not true. That's true. There are some people in the Bahamas who are doing extremely well. Some of them are in the House of Assembly whose net worth have increased immensely, who got hundreds of thousands of dollars stock up in the bank. So all of them ain't bad off. Right? So the kind of broad and exaggerative ways in which they describe, you could describe them as the F of people desperate to get and or to hold power. And for me, that is not a criticism. If you are interested, desperately interested in achieving the success of winning government or keeping government, you shouldn't be in government. The people of Obama shouldn't give it to you, because now the only thing they have to ask is, now, why are you desperate? Why are you so urgently wanting it? Do you want it for yourself? Or do you want it to do these things that will enhance, enrich, benefit the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? That's the determination they have to make. But they would, that you're passionate and that you are energetic and you are dynamically wanting to do that, well, of course you should. Of course you should want to. In fact, I hope and pray that Bahamians get desperate to have good governance in their country so that their evaluation who is presenting themselves to them becomes so focused, so robust, so detailed that they say, yeah, I think of all the group, I want you. That's my hope. I hope that they take it seriously, that they see it as an urgent reality. I hope so. So I don't get offended by that, but what I'm saying to you is you are going to be feeded by a bunch of words, a lot of words that are supposed to have meaning, that are supposed to have logic, that are supposed to have rigidity attached to it, and that you have to evaluate these words, all of them, all of these parties, by all of the players. You can't get, don't let nobody money dim your eyes. Don't let anybody's eloquence dull your hearing and thinking. Don't let anybody gaslighting confuse you. You need to have a very open, thoughtful, critical, and reasoning mind to deal with this war of words to which you will be featured. Words, a bunch of words, a lot of words. Words giving you ideas. I'm going to set up a national lottery. Words giving you an idea. We can do 300 houses, unlike them people who say they can do 1,000 houses. Words. Oh, we're gonna deal with landlords this way. Words that says, you know, we're gonna cut VAT on this, cut VAT on that. A lot of words representing ideas about what is proposed to be done. Words about, well, they say they did this, but look at what has happening over here. Words, words. And you have to sort through these words. You have to sort through these words. You have to sort through them to see the extent to which they are believable, credible, reasonable, and how they are relevant to the life you are living and the life you want to live. You are the center. You are the central point, not the politician. They are not. They are at your vote. You're trying to get theirs. This is the one time in the whole scheme of our democracy you truly are in charge. Truly are the boss. They know it. They will be kinder to you now. They'll be softer with you now. They would be more cordial to you now. they will try and tell you how they have blessed you. you think if I give you $100, I have to spend 2 hours telling you why I give you $100? Anybody text me and tell me, yeah, Shivago, if you give me $100, you'll have to spend some time convincing me you give me $100. You think so? No. But that's what has to happen. People have to convince you that what they have done for you is what they have done for you. They have to convince you that what they want to do for you, they will do for you. They have to convince you, you are the central feature of the democratic process between now and May 12th. After May 12th, you give them people your authority and you have limited participation in what happens after that. Limited. You can growl and say, oh, that's why we need this, that's why we need that. Well, you don't have it. Right now, all you have is a vote. On May 12th, you'll give it. A selection shall be made as to who governs the country. And after that, you are subject to the use of the delegated power you have given them. That's how it works. On the basis of what? Words. A whole bathtub of words in which you'll be soaked for the next few days. Soaked in those words. And I've been listening to those words. I've been listening to some of those words. I've been watching how people been using some of those words. And in some instances, I'm not impressed. In other instances, I'm concerned. In some instances, I'm intrigued. I can't say that I have been yet impressed. I can't say that, not yet. You know, I sometimes hear the media. I've seen even in the Guardian's editorials on occasions, commentary that nothing revolutionary is being offered, nothing really intriguing is being offered by these parties. The truth of the matter is that's part of our problem. Revolutionary things don't come a dime a dozen in the world or in human history. They do not. All around the world, if you watch and see what governments are doing and what businesses are doing, it's on the fringe that revolutionary things are being done. And that's only after substantial investment in research and development. Only after that. AI and robotics and all these kind of things. These aren't happening because somebody just simply fiddling around and then inventing that. No, sorry, Bob. People are investing in very serious talent. Millions and millions and millions of dollars are going into that. And that's their full-time job. Full-time R&D in developing that stuff in the hope that it'll have some commercial viability at the end of the day. You see any governments doing that? Governments tend to benefit from innovation when it didn't happen around the fringes. You know what you do see, though? What you do see in the governments that are working is you see the normal execution of best practices in the delivery of public goods and services. The normal, unsexy, exciting, effective functioning and working of things. When you can drive on your road and not have to pay attention to potholes, it's a normal thing to have roads that don't affect your driving and your vehicle. When you go into a government hospital and the doctor is available and the nurse is available and the things that the doctors and the nurse are available, and when they give you a prescription and you go to the pharmacy, it's available. That's not something that's going to excite you, because it's not supposed to excite you. It's supposed to reflect the normal functioning operational circumstances of an effective hospital. Not even sexy. That's just what it should be. And then when you have all these normal things happening, what you get to do is function in that normal world, and you get to take your time that's not wasted running up and down trying to find what wasn't there, or spending all kind of time around the hospital because there's not available resources to assist you. You get to spend your time thinking, how can I make my life, my family, my community better? That's what a government does. Creates normal, revolutionary normal, so that you can be revolutionary as an enterprising individual. So I don't run around waiting for no megalomaniacal ideas to be coming from the government. That's nonsense. It can from time to time. And Ms. Ingram came to office in 1992. Ms. Ingram didn't offer anything revolutionary. What he offered was change that made sense. Why are you standing on a line, thousands and thousands of you, on one day trying to get your, in 1 month trying to get your license, car license? That's nonsense. A normal, better way to do it is, why don't you do it on your birthday month? That's not revolutionary. that's just sensible. Okay? It's not revolutionary to have the government not be the only broadcaster in the country, the only holder of a radio and television license in the country. All around the world, they was doing other than that. So when he decided, no, we're going to privatize it, it was quote revolutionary for us because we didn't before. But it's trying to create and generate the normal functioning of a society. Now nobody walks around going how revolutionary it is. It just call up these places, cuss who they want to cuss, say what they want to say, and just be thankful and no one even remember. One time ago it was like this. They don't even remember it. It's so normal now. You know, I remember saying in the House on one occasion that we marvel at Roman architecture and relics now, right? At the Colosseum and all that. But do you know that what the Colosseum and all that represented was modernity in Roman times? Now we admire as ancient what was their modern. So to them, these things were part and parcel of development and so forth and so forth. And that's what you need. You need a government that works, man. My God, I take a government that works. How about making the existing hospital work before you bring a new hospital on stream? Because the argument hasn't been convincingly made to me that a brand new hospital is going to help us with the old hospital, since the old hospital had resource constraints, that now a new hospital is going to probably demand even more. How about we make the old hospital really work well before we move on to other things, right? But no, we are in this chase for legacy. A legacy that says, we did the revolutionary. We did the outstanding. We did. That's the problem. That's the problem. We won't add on to our house. When the inside the house ain't functioning, the fridge busts up, the stove, only one of the burners working. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shababa Lang, host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is the National Youth Guard program designed to train young people to help the Bahama Islands in times of disaster.
I decided to join the better serve my country as well as to better myself.
We train the help with search and rescue,
electrical, plumbing, and carpentry.
And things that they can actually expand on in their careers.
Young people who join the Youth Guard program discover a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, and a sense of patriotism.
This program isn't about only the individuals. It is about the country.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foreign commercial banks have been closing across our islands. For thousands of Bahamians, our country's post office savings banks are a lifeline, providing safe and secure banking. But Michael Pintard says,
we will abolish the bank through the post office system.
That's a risk Bahamians can't afford. That's why the Prime Minister is making post office savings banks stronger to protect Bahamian families and small businesses who rely on them. Paid for by the PLP.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text, call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I just want to give you guys some rules going forward today to May 12th. If you want to text me, and especially if you're going to use my WhatsApp number, right, you're going to text me about ideas. You are not going to start a conversation with, there you go again, or anything having to do with me. You challenge my ideas. You challenge my ideas. Because the minute I see that intro, I'm blocking you. Why am I blocking you? Because I want you to have the courage to call this show and put your voice to me. I'm not going to permit you to have no sidebar, private conversation, trying to have no private conversation with me. Have some courage. Don't be a coward. Call the show. And you have a conversation with me so that we could air out these thoughts so that other people could hear you and your thoughts as I help you get straight with them. So I ain't wasting no time. I'm blocking you quick. Okay? And one fella didn't get blocked this morning. This text is, my friend, beautiful explanation of the process. I believe you're talking about that process of words. This is what you are in. You are in a word bath. Words bath. That's what you're in. And everybody's trying to get your attention. And everybody wants to get and capture your imagination. And everybody wants to get your support. Right? That's why you got people who text and who's scared, because I have F and M sometimes who text me and they nervous. They scared. Man, I can't help your nervousness. You got to deal with your nervousness yourself. I got PLPs.
News. Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
The Whopper with cheese at Burger King Nassau has never tasted so good. It's made with 100% flame-grilled beef that's juicier, topped with fresh ingredients as usual, and even fluffier buns. Get a regular Whopper with cheese combo for only $9, including VAT, and enjoy a Whopper that's bigger, better, and tastier. The only place to get your Whopper with cheese combo is at Burger King Nassau, where it's grill time anytime.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
The following is a paid political message. That was a paid political message.
Are you a tourism business owner or ready to become one? At the Tourism Development Corporation, we work with tourism entrepreneurs at every stage, turning ideas into thriving businesses and helping existing ones grow. From business development support and funding opportunities to targeted initiatives and strategic partnerships, we're here to help you take that next step. Build your future in tourism with the Tourism Development Corporation. Visit tdcbahamas.com to learn more.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. The Free National Movement and COI have both expressed concerns about the happenings at the parliamentary elections process. In the case of the Free National Movement, it has taken the step of inviting observers from the U.S. Embassy, UN, and the like. Mr. Harrison Thompson, who is the who is the parliamentary commissioner, says that having these observers is nothing new and has been longstanding in the country. It isn't new, that is true. It is something that I think has started happening around maybe in the 92 election or so. And that I recall at a point it was the Free National Movement that had made appeals for this kind of observance in the election. Quite frankly, you know, we forget. In 1992, concerns about the integrity of the election were so ripe. It was Hubert Alexander Ingram who was able to convince, I believe, Sir Lyndon and others to engage a new feature of our election process. Think about that. The purple ink, dip your thumb in the ink. That wasn't always the case in our elections. Why was that implemented? Why was that instituted? Because there were concerns about the electoral process, about the integrity of it. And so it was an enhancing feature. We now are going to biometric voter's card. Why? Why are we doing that? Why are we doing biometric voter card? If our election process is so airtight and so incapable of having its integrity compromised, why are we doing biometric voter's cards? Because we say it enhances the integrity and security of the process. So we are improving the process to strengthen its integrity. If we believe that our system is so foolproof, why do we rely on negotiations between the political parties to have representation at various points in the process to ensure that they can check against people doing skullduggery? Why? Because you got human beings who could do skullduggery. You could trust any man, but don't trust him too much. You could have police officers do skullduggery. You could have people in the registrar, parliamentary commissioner's office do skullduggery. Wasn't one just arrested and the other day along with somebody else? So I don't know why we get so defensive when people who are seeking to get elected, FNMP, or COI, would want to call attention to what they believe are irregularities in the process. All you need to do is explain the situation and maybe listen, because they may actually have a legitimate observation which can be corrected to ensure the integrity of our process, because there is nothing more fundamental, more foundational than protecting the integrity of a voter on the vote and the election process of a country. Not more fundamental. If your election process is corrupt and you get a government by corrupt means, then everything else going forward is corrupt. It means your prime minister is corruptly appointed, your members of parliament corruptly appointed, your ministers corruptly appointed. Why? Because they may not be the legitimate people that ought to have been, because they were not the will of the voters. That's sacrosanct. That the will of the voters be manifest in the outcome of our election. That's why you want them to be free and fair. And we shouldn't have any knee-jerk defensive reaction to that, to any calls, any observations about it. So if the FNM has issues, the PLP has issues, the COI has issues, just you give us the facts. Say, you know what, we looked at this and so we might pay attention. Because let's be real for a minute. Now, firstly, let me tell you, I, Shivago Sean Lang, do not have any overwhelming concern that our elections or that our election upcoming could be filled with fraud. I don't have any overwhelming concern, but let me explain something to you. Has Shivago Lang not heard that a young man in the Parliamentary Registrar Department was arrested along with someone else in possession of fraudulent voters' cards. Has he not? Yes, he has. That concerns me. I don't know how widespread that is. I don't know. He might be the only one who got caught. I don't know. So why wouldn't I be concerned? Secondly, Shivago Sean, man, knows that there are 399,000 people in the Bahamas, according to the most recent census. And we have over 200,000 people registered to vote. Half of the Bahamas population is under 25 years old. Do you know how extraordinary it is to get over 200,000 people of a 399,000 population base? To me, that's something that piques my attention. It does. Right? Claims fraudulent passports. But fraudulent passports could lead to fraudulent cards, fraudulent registration. So in regard to all of this, why I not have a reason suspicion? That's not unreasonable. So you can't take these things personally. You know, this isn't on you, the person who's the Minister of National Security, you, the person who's the Parliamentary Commissioner, you, the person who's the Prime Minister, who ultimately is responsible for ensuring the integrity of the election. Prime Minister Bahamas. Okay? No, it's your institution, your office and the role and functions that you have that we are appealing to in respect of the trust and integrity of the process. Not about you. You are operating in it. And we have to ask questions about when you're talking about an office, if you have concerns, you're talking about the character and competence of the holders of the office. Because you can have character issues that interfere with the functioning, or you can have competence issues that interfere with the functioning, or you can have a combination of character and competence. You can have conflict of interest that are at stake in the situation. I'm not stupid. The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is all of our Prime Minister, but he's a PLP. Dr. Minnis was a FNM. Hubert Ingham was a FNM. Sir Lyndon Pinder was a PLP. Perry Christie was a PLP. They all had partisan biases in their postures. They were heads of our country. I don't think that every single person in the Parliamentary Registration Commission's office, every police officer who is involved with the electoral process, every presiding officer, and all that, they don't have political preferences. You think I'm stupid enough to believe that? But what I have to believe, or what we have to hope for, is notwithstanding their biases, notwithstanding their preferences, that they will operate and function as shores above all else the integrity of the electoral process so that they are free and fair. And to do that, everybody should be vigilant. To do that, everybody should take every measure they need to take. This isn't personal. This is our country. In an effort to get us the best government we want, this ain't about your preference. This is about the process that we use to get us what we think is the government we want. So if we want to have the people from Soweto come, the people from backward thingam in Buenos Aires come, because they may have some competence in this thing, well, let them come. But the problem is, I always tell people, if you ain't doing nothing wrong, you're no problem. I'm like, yeah, as you are, watching you. Not a problem. And even if something is normal, asking for something that's normal ain't not a problem either. It's normal for people to get coffee in the morning, so that how is it a problem that they go to Starbucks another morning after they've been there 300 mornings and ask for their coffee? Not a problem. Give the man the coffee. Tell the man, listen, you know I already gave you your coffee. You want the OAS, you want the US? Can I tell you, we've already made application for that? Excellent, wonderful, excellent. I don't want to hear nobody talking about don't cast aspersion on, don't cast, because you can't get no more aspersion cast on our process than having one of your employees hauled before the courts. I didn't do that. No political party did that. This is a very serious process and a very serious time. Now, let me tell you all something, right? You know who are the best guarantors of the integrity of our political process? You voters, you voters. You know how? Go out and vote. You ain't sure about nobody else, but you go out and vote. You go. You sure about yourself? You go. You Bahamian? You know you Bahamian? You registered? You go vote. And observe what you observe. And if you think and you see things that you believe you don't agree with, but then you vote in the way that gets you what you think you deserve to get. Then you go on and go to vote, be vigilant. You see someone to what? It'll look like that's somebody that's exchanged a ballot. Go tell the police. Tell tree police. Tell the political people. You're the best way. Watch everybody. Everybody. Don't pay attention to everybody when you go on the line. Every single body. Look around and watch. See what they're doing. People around, why are you giving them money going inside there? And shout it. This text says, good day, Lang, and I thank your that's from yesterday. Says, Z-Live, is it appropriate? Okay, should we accept it? I don't understand. So, Mr. Lang, I viewed the list of contracts to various consultants, and from what I deduced, some of these services could have been offered via the e-procurement for others to bid on. Are all consultancy work exempt from this process? Consultancy work, I don't understand that. Gosh, I don't understand that, sorry. This says, why are FNN, So hi, Mr. Lang, check the record. I believe it was successor Wallace Whitfield who pushed for the Purple Ink after 1987. That could be true, could be so, but it could be so. But of course, you know, by 1992, he was not there. So I think it was Ingram and Nairn who got it instituted. But it could well be been that it was successful who pushed for it before. That is quite possible. But you have to ensure this integrity. You have to ensure it by your vigilance now. Not only on election day. Ensure it by your vigilance now. As you listen, as you analyze, as you think about, man, let me tell you something, right? I love a good rally like everybody else. I ain't going to no rally. I ain't been to no rally. But I love a good rally like everybody else. But rallies, you know, could be fun, but you got to listen. You got to analyze. You got to observe, right? You got to read. You got to try and understand what people are saying to me. Because a voter is a hard voter to cheat. An informed voter is a hard voter to trick. An informed voter is a hard voter to deceive. An informed voter is a difficult voter to buy. Hallelujah. Huh? An informed voter is a difficult voter to treat. You are the final bulwark. You, voters. You're the final. You. And when you go and do your voting, go vote. Don't write nothing on them people ballot, trying to spoil your ballot unless that's what you're trying to do. Don't write nothing to nobody. I hate you. That's why I voted against you. No. Find your name. Put your X next to it in the appropriate spot. Because them people ain't going to read your ballot. None of them will read your ballot. None. The only people who can see your ballot is the returning officer. I mean, when they count it, and your name ain't gonna be on it. So good afternoon, and tell the people don't spoil their ballot and don't vote for Lincoln because that is just as bad as spoiling your ballot. But I tell you, no, if you vote COI, if you vote PLP, if you vote FNM, or you vote for someone else, and that's your choice, that's not spoiling your ballot. You are voting your preference. Let me say it again. The FNMs believe this nonsense. There are PLPs who believe this nonsense. If you vote COI, FNM, PLP, and that is your preference, you are voting as you ought. You are not spoiling your ballot. You are not. If that is your choice, that is your choice. Okay? So I don't, you could text another show about that, but don't text me with that. I do not believe it. Do not subscribe to it. We'll not endorse it. Or the COI are spoilers. How do they get to be spoilers? If the FNM, if BLP get more votes than the COI and the FNM get more votes than the PLP than the COI, and either one of the FNM or PLP win, well, one of them spoil each other more than COI. But no, you don't even think that. I mean, it's so unthinking. Nonsense. Bahamians should vote their choice, whoever that is. It says, hi, Mr. Lang, has the PM come out and say to anyone who may have received passports and voters' cards illegally to refrain from participating in the upcoming election? If not, why? Well, I haven't heard him say that, but I remember why he need to say that. If you take the measure to go and get an illegal voter's card or passport, you think you can listen to the prime minister or anybody who tell you don't come out? You then show me you was a crook and you used to do crooked things. And if you could get away with doing crooked things, you can do crooked things. What you hope for is that your people at the voting station are vigilant enough to be able to catch people and, you know, try as best they can. Say, okay, I apologize. All of us make bad choices in life here. Yeah. Or you know, just because somebody's choice isn't your choice, don't make it a bad choice. Somebody's choice is their choice is their choice. Say, Z, was it okay, acceptable, appropriate for former Commissioner of Police, now Ambassador to Canada, Mr. Fernanda, and the Permanent Secretary of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Seymour, to wear PLP shirts on nomination day? With Prime Minister Davis? Well, as for the Mr. Fernanda, he is now a private citizen and has a political appointment, a Prime Minister who is head of PLP and head of the country, head of the government. So he's a private citizen. If he wants to go and flex political paraphernalia and campaign for PLP, we'll hold that against him. There's nothing, I don't regard that as inappropriate, even though it may in fact call into question his posture when he was the Commissioner of Police. But now he's a private citizen. A current minister, a current permanent secretary adorning political paraphernalia is wholly inappropriate. Wholly inappropriate. A current permanent secretary, undersecretary, deputy permanent secretary, first assistant secretary, assistant secretary, them kind of people adorning political paraphernalia is wholly unacceptable to me. Wholly unacceptable. Not only to me, the general orders for many of them. So yes, it's inappropriate. No question about that. Bad judgment. Terrible display. This text is, hi, there's a number on the ballot associated with your name where your view is known afterwards. Not afterwards, that's a lie. It's not true. The only way for that number to be associated with your name is in an election court. And a court would have to order a scrutiny of that. It's not true. Y'all stop this nonsense. Stop this nonsense. I don't even know why we'd be running on with this to most people, not everybody, many people. Hey, they tell you how they vote anyhow. When I was in government, I show up to the polls. Well, before I was in government, I voted for the first time in 1987. I show up to the poll in FNM shirt. You think I was scared they'll know how he's going to vote? When I was in government, I show up to the polls in FNM shirt. So did all my supporters. all of the people who was campaigning with me. If you want your vote private, it is private. But plenty of people in the bombs ain't on that run, man. They're not trying to hide nothing. You can see it. People, them, all these people in the PLP shirt, COI shirt, FNM shirt, and so forth. These independent people who are running for themselves, well, you think they can vote? They can vote for themselves. So you already know how they can vote. Why are you more special than them? Only because if you don't want nobody to know, that's your choice. This text is, good day, sir. What are your thoughts on passing a law in this country where persons that were not originally Bahamians but got citizenship through application to make it so that they can change their first or middle name, but they must maintain their last name? I don't believe in that. I mean, that's nonsense. First of all, if you live in a country where you have freedom of choice, then you should have the right, if by legal means, to change your name to whatever you want to change it to. Whatever you want to change it to. You should have the right to do that. Why should I make it so, if you're a citizen, and you are a legitimate citizen, why would I need to affect your desire to change your name? You're already a citizen, if it's legitimate. What's the difference? So now you're telling me there should be a difference between Shivago Pierre and Shivago Lang if they're both legitimately citizens, so that Shivago Pierre can't change his name if he wishes to Shivago something else? Some of y'all are so narrow about this. You could be a female citizen who is who could be Jeanette Pierre, but you could get married to a Lang and you're now Jeanette Lang, and your middle name might be Elizabeth. Come on, man, stop, please. What you are concerned about is a legitimate concern. You are concerned about illegal immigrants to the Bahamas being facilitated with fraudulent documents that establishes for them a status they ought not to have. That's a legitimate thing. We got to be brighter in trying to solve that problem than trying to create rules against people changing their names. And you got to do it in the press. You got to do it in the press. If you have an issue with somebody who's changing their name, you have a means. Go write to people and tell the people. But I object to this on this basis. You got to have a basis, though. Come on, man. Let's be sophisticated thinkers in the Bahamas. Let's be sophisticated operators. Let's fix the problem we really have, which is crooked people in government offices doing crooked things. Crooked people outside of government offices doing crooked things, helping people get things they shouldn't have. But it ain't only Haitians doing that. We have Bahamians who've been doing that too. But you can do with them. They ain't trying to change their name. You can do with them. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
It's like, what's happening?
What you saying?
Well, Mr. Like, this is the most, somebody be listening to you, this is the most I've heard you say, that is foolishness. This is nonsense. These people trying to stress you out, but I think don't let them stress you out, man. You know what kind of season this is, right?
No, it's not. It's not stress, you know. What it is, and I tell people this all the time, because you know how we go as Bahamians. If you don't emphasize something strongly enough, we think you're joking.
Yeah, I got you, man. Let me ask you a question. Seen a couple of articles that in a video that they were saying that Mr. Ingram says that there's no way that you could fix an election or anything of that nature, right? And that's making the rounds now. When he said that, do you think he had all of these things in context as it relates to what is currently experiencing? Because I'm quite certain now. There were things like this going on, but we maybe never highlighted it to the level, or maybe it wasn't as bad as it is now during the times when him and yourself and others was around.
You want me to answer your question? Firstly, let me give you a real discussion, a real one. So Mr. Ingram made that comment. Somebody sent me a note and asked me if I agreed with it. And I said, I do not. I sent the dialogue to Mr. Ingram. I sent it to him saying that I was asked if I agreed with you And I said, I do not. And he said to me, I have it in writing. You want me to read for you what he said?
Go ahead, man.
Because I'm sure he doesn't have a problem with it. Okay? He said that if you have incompetent, disengaged people on the other side, all things are possible.
Gotcha.
Okay, that's from him. If. So I agree with him 100% on this. If you have competent people who are engaged, who are truly interested in a process that's not corrupt, I think it is absolutely impossible almost to have a corrupt, steal an election in the Bahamas, because that's what he was talking about, stealing an election.
Gotcha.
Right? But you can steal an election because that's one of the bases of what we call floating ballots.
Right.
Okay? Why are we concerned about arresting people who give up fraudulent voters' cards? Why are we concerned about having a clean register if you can't steal an election?
Correct. Yep.
Because the assumption is, we think sometimes that, oh, you can win by hundreds. Many seats are won by narrow margins.
Uh-huh. Definitely.
And so one or two people can make a huge difference.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, my brother.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend. Take care. We have a call on the line. Go ahead. Caller, we're listening to you.
All in the mix.
We have a call on the line? Yeah. Hey, hi.
Hello, sir. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Yeah, man. It's just one observation, right? This may be the best slate of candidates we have had from both parties since 1992.
Since 19 when?
Since 1992.
Okay.
You know, I'm very encouraged, man.
Okay. Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Take care. This text says, Mr. Lang, do you think we need a law that only Bahamian citizens by birth can be elected as PM as it is in the USA because these naturalized persons one day become PM? I don't know if that's not the law now. I would support that should be the case. I wouldn't have a difficulty with that. This text says the PLP are trying to use the HI statement to argue that regardless of the number of fake voters on the roll, the election cannot be stolen. Why does the PLP need to make this argument instead of simply stating that the credibility of voters' roll is secure? The PLP knows that the voting process may be compromised. That's actually a good point, actually. That's a good point. I don't understand why Mr. Ingram's statement went around like that. But as he said, you know, it's a matter of competence and engagement on the other side. This text says, good afternoon, Brother Lang. Excellent show as usual and a very timely topic. Just as the 1992 elections was very pivotal in the history of our country, this one is even more crucial. This country is in the worst state to me in the last 10 years than any other time. Bahamians must get all out and vote for the future of our country and our children and grandchildren. I welcome the different international bodies that are coming to observe our elections, and I say let the world be watching. If you have nothing to hide, you should agree as a person who loved their country. Thank you for cleaning up the nonsense some people speak and keep dropping the knowledge. You're quite welcome. Listen, we're going to take a break and pay our respects to our wonderful sponsors, and then when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. Everybody,
come take my hand. Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
5 years of PLP rule. Are you better off today? While you work, they've spent millions on taxpayer-funded trips a government-funded luxury car and handed out hundreds of millions in no-bid contracts. But for the rest of us, gas and groceries through the roof, VAT on bread basket items, healthcare that is broken, unaffordable, and out of reach. And it's not just your wallet. For 5 years, illegal immigrants have flooded our communities, putting excessive pressure on our schools, our housing, and our social services. As they flood in, Bahamian families fall behind. Under the FNM, there will be a change. The FNM has a plan to address the rising cost of living, secure our borders, protect Bahamians from illegal immigrants, and fix our health care. Because the FNM knows our job is to work for you and not the few. This message was paid for and authorized by the Free National Movement.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Bahamas, get ready. The Bahamas Agricultural and Industrial Corporation presents the 5th annual Taste and Tell Food Expo, the biggest food processing event of the year. Join us April 25th at the Western Esplanade from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy live cooking demos, competitions, eating contests with prizes, a fun kitty corner, and live entertainment. Don't miss it. For more information, call 376-6209. Taste and Tell. Come for the food, stay for the fun.
Make Mother's Day unforgettable with Kelly's House and Home's Mother's Day sale starting Friday, May 1st through Saturday, May 9th. Save 20% on a lovely selection of dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. We have beautiful gifts that let mom know just how much she's appreciated. Shop early and enjoy 20% off at Kelly's House and Home's Day sale May 1st through 9th. Happy Mother's Day with love from Kelly's House and Home.
In Andros, where the roads ain't right.
Oh, Andrew! The FNM's Fire Forward Rally moves to Mangrove Key this Wednesday, April 22nd, 8 p.m. at Dorset Park, Mangrove Key. FNM's come here from Androsians, Brooke Green, D'Angelo Ferguson, your candidate Julian Gibson, Shannon on Cartwright, Deputy Leader, and Michael Pintard, the party leader. 8 p.m. Come here, plans on how the FNM will work for Central, Mangrove Key, and South Andrews.
Landy says it's progress, we see the joy.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. This text says, are you saying that an ambassador can wear their political colors? Okay, so let's bell this cat. Bell this cat right now. An ambassador is a political appointee. Okay? Now, in our history, we have mostly use as ambassadors, political persons. Okay, sometimes they were former MPs or MPs, sitting MPs have done it before, right? These are political people. Those people can wear any political paraphernalia, come out and fly from where they are and come and talk and campaign for the government. The point is, and even if they try to pretend not to be, they are political appointees. Now, we have also had civil servants, like former police commissioners, we've had permanent secretaries, former, who have also been appointed ambassadors. Now, they tend to operate on a basis. Not that they have to, but they tend to be more, say, non-partisan and political in their posturing in that office. But if they wanted to, they could participate in political process. There's no rule. There's no protocol against that. They are ambassadors. They're appointed by the prime minister. Okay? Appointees. That's different than a permanency. Okay? A civil servant. That's different. I told you all before, commissioner of police who manned the station for my opponent in the 2002 general election that I lost, seeking to regain the seat. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Go ahead. Hey, right here, man. What's up?
So just speaking on the voter's card situation, my thing is, if they know that we have fraudulent voter's card out there, and they were saying that there's a seal on it that will represent the original or the right voter's card, right? Why haven't they, made a video, because it's the age of social media, made a video, posted online, showing, this is how the seal should look. This is how the right voter's card should look, so there could be more eyes out and all the humans can have an idea of,
That's a good idea. Yeah, they should do that. That's a good idea. I mean, it's the most important thing is for the agents of these parties who are at the poll to be watching. But, you know, it's not the voter's card that gets you eligibility to vote, you know. The voter's card has to be combined with your name on the actual register.
Yeah.
So you could have nobody really inspects your voter's card per se when you enter, because you don't need a voter's card to vote. You could vote with your passport. You could vote with your driver's license. What you need is to ensure that your name is on that register. And the PLP agent is looking to check the register to see if your name is there. The F&M agent is doing the same thing to see if doing the same thing. And presumably, they have checked your house and home when they went to check to see who this voter is. So the voter's card is important that it's not frauded, but it's not the only thing you need to vote. In fact, you don't even need it to vote. The most important thing is, does your name appear on that register? Another question is, did your name get on that register through fraudulent means? That's the other thing. This text says, someone was driving past a roundabout by Goodman's Bay, and they had been speaking about this for weeks, that the government placed some poster extra large around that roundabout, and it collapsed on the roundabout, and that the Ministry of Works has made no effort to remove it. It is an eyesore to Bahamians and tourists alike. And so forth, and says, what a pity. The PM passes that way every day, and his office is only a stone's throw away. Well, I believe they listen to the show, so maybe we can get something done. I'll see if I can make a call when I'm done. This text says, Mr. Lang, PLP government should support the transparency of voter registration. They should go fully behind the integrity of our election. Whoever is found practicing illegal voting, floating ballots, and other skullduggery should be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. So far, the PLP government doesn't appear to be voicing its detention against it. Okay. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. What's up?
But these are fraudulent voter cards. I don't think they want those voter cards to vote. I think what they want them for is to get the NIV card, to get jobs and driver's license stuff. I don't think it's not to vote for it.
I agree with you, but that means somebody might try. I agree with you, but that means somebody might try. Yeah. I agree with you, because, again, you could have that voter card.
Driver's license.
Yeah, but that don't mean you ain't gonna try though, because if you got the voter's card, it's possible you also registered and you're also on the register, so maybe that's a vote.
But like you said, it's a seal on the card. When you go to the agency, they can look for that. They can know.
Because you don't need your voter's card to vote. You could vote with a.
Right. So if they get an NID card, they can get a driver's license.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I'm saying if you have some other government-issued ID, you know, like a driver's license, you don't need the voter's card, so nobody's going to be inspecting your voter's card.
Yeah, And that's what I'm saying. They want to get their NID card. Once they get an NID card, they get a driver's license. So man, they get paid them an NID. That's the shit in this card.
Yeah, but we're not disagreeing with you. But that doesn't mean somebody won't try to use that voter's card to vote, though.
Well, I think they'll get caught.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate you calling. Okay, yeah. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak on park and beaches situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I see there's $140 million spent. I had a friend call me, and he was just telling me that in Bimini, they had the homecoming or regatta, whatever it was, and the ladies' bathrooms, it couldn't lock. They had latches on it. And I had to laugh, and I was like, man, you sound ungrateful, because at least in Bimini, y'all have bathrooms. In Berry Island, we don't even have a bathroom on the beaches yet. We have a bunch of holidays and parties going on. You have to either go in the bush or try to make your way home.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling. You know, what is incredible about the beaches and park thing is if you listen to a speech that Prime Minister Davis delivered, Prime Minister Davis said that the Minnis administration used beaches and parks like a slush fund. He said, and that the wrongdoing there was obvious. They had a forensic audit happening, etc. And what I find amazing about all that is, one, nothing was done. No one was prosecuted. No evidence was presented of the wrongdoing. Nothing was done. Now, under the Prime Minister Davis's administration, abundantly more has been spent at beaches and parks. And the explanation is, we did what they did. But the Prime Minister said in 1970, they did wrong. That's what he said. And his chairman of Beaches and Park Authority said, yeah, but we only did what they did by trying to help small and medium-sized businesses. Says, good afternoon. How does a floating ballot work? Okay, so what happens is you have to get one of your supporters, you get a ballot when they go inside to vote. And what they have to take something with them that resembles a ballot. Because what they're trying to do is bring out a real ballot. So when they go to vote, they put that fake thing they fold up and put, or appearing to be a ballot they voted on. Then they bring out the real ballot. And so what they then do is give that to the person who is. So that person takes that inside the booth with them. They pick up the new ballot, which is unmarked. They drop that ballot they got from outside that's marked for the party, and they bring out the new ballot with unmarked ballot to the agent. So now the agent will mark that for their party and then give it to the next person they're trying to get to support their, who they have engaged to be a part of this conspiracy. And then they will do the same thing. And so what that ballot, so you just have, this rotating unmarked ballot that's being marked by the people to ensure that people who say they can vote for them for whatever monies or things will actually vote for them because they put the X on themselves. Please tell me that I help you understand what a floating ballot is. Text me and tell me, yes, I get it now. It's quite a sophisticated operation. It ain't easy to do, but if you get it done, oh, sugar, it could compromise a whole election process. When I first ran in 1997, they believed that they were running a floating ballot on me. Man, our lawyers agents are sending on that place. They know more voting going on. We can make sure it'll break up the party. Will break up the place to stop a floating ballot. This text says, "Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Is there a committee that investigates the increase of politician salaries while they serve in the government? Because $141 million for parks and beaches and $94 million for private consultants don't sound right. This park in my area is in a terrible state. Do you know what $140 million could do for the parks, Bahamas parks?" I do. I do know. This text says, "Thank you very much. Yes, I got it. Much appreciated." Good, good. Happy you got it. This text says, "You broke up. Please explain it again." No, man. You broke up. I broke up because the other person who asked me the question, they got the answer. That's a long explanation, man. I can explain it another time. That floating ballot is the one thing they'll tell you watch for. Watch for that floating ballot. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, I'm at the line.
Hi, caller. Hey, yeah, what's happening?
When you go to vote, when they give you that ballot, they show you a signature in that ballot, and they give you it. When you come out the box, they ask you to show your signature before you drop it.
No, they just, they ask you to show you, they ask you to show them the ballot, the signature now, maybe, because they're trying to avoid the floating ballot. But you, well, people are vigilant. That's why I said,
show that signature. When you come out the box, you have to show them the signature again. And everybody
saying that's only vigilant. Yeah, but I'm saying, sir, you know that I participated in 4 elections, right? Right?
I wouldn't.
You go,
I'm 68.
Huh? It's only 4,
I'm 68 years
old.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking, but no, that's you. But I'm talking about me. I participated as a candidate. And I'm saying to you, I did that up to 2012. And every election, you are trained to look out for floating ballots.
That's the time. Right? I did what I had to do.
I know what you have to do, but that doesn't... Okay, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate your calling. See, it doesn't matter what you did. Yes, you have to show them the voter's card with the signature. But that don't mean people are always being vigilant. And so that's why I said, did I not say it's hard to do? But if it happens, boy, you're in trouble. You're in trouble if it's hard to do. Because now you have to catch the person outside the voter's station, the voting station, with the card to say, they were trying to run a floating ballot. I didn't say it's easy to do. It's hard to do. Anyway, we've plumb out of time. I'm sorry I can't read all your texts. Anyway, God spares life. We'll be back again tomorrow. You all been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabarba Lang, your host. Have a fantastic afternoon.
We'll walk this road together through the storm.